In Washington today, representatives of the world's 7 richest industrial countries are gathering to discuss the global economy. This is a prelude to the weekend's meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Along with many of the world's top economists, the meetings have also attracted hundreds of protesters, like this black-clad Pittsburgh native who identified himself as Pixie.
The United States government and the world at large is being run by corporations. Governments no longer have control, and the people haven't had control in a long time.
Along with opponents of capitalism, Washington's streets were filled today with demonstrators against war with Iraq, environmental and labor activists, and anarchists who just want fewer laws. NPR's Andrea Seabrook has been out meeting some of them.
On a grassy hill beside the White House, a drumming circle plays rhythms in hopes of peace with Iraq. Several hundred protesters of all different groups gather around listening and dancing and waving signs, end corporate greed, no killing for oil, and save old growth forests. Down the slope, many hundreds of police officers in riot gear surround the crowd, slowly penning the demonstrators in. 2 young men, one in a fluorescent pink wig and another with a bulletproof vest over his t-shirt, want to know why the police won't let them out.
Are we being detained? You're not letting us leave the park.
There's a police line everywhere around the park. Where do you want us to leave from?
Will you let us leave, please? We will.
Earlier in the morning, a few dozen protesters bicycled through traffic, broke a street front window, and set a couple of tires on fire. They aimed to block traffic into the city, but the police were prepared and arrested about 40 of them. Now on this hill, the police continue to act as if these protesters were potentially violent, though most of them say they just want to peacefully demonstrate. The police eventually arrested some 500 protesters today. At a nearby church, several large organizations are running a 3-day workshop on their complaints about the World Bank and IMF policies. Soren Ambrose is a leader among these groups and says he understands that it's difficult to see the differences between them.
It is a perennial problem that we will find that other people are carrying out activities that may not have the same message or may use tactics that are more controversial than ours.
But the main intent of most of the groups here is to protest the policies of the World Bank and the IMF. Mara Vanderslice is a leader in the Jubilee campaign, which pushes these international monetary institutions to relieve poor countries of their debts to richer nations.
It's hard to get how that affects, you know, a girl in Tanzania that wants to go to school or someone that's dying of AIDS in Jamaica. But the World Bank and IMF policies impact millions of real people's lives.
And groups like Jubilee have support from more mainstream organizations with a lot of experience dealing with governments. John Sweeney is the president of the AFL-CIO.
When the IMF and the World Bank come calling, workers in developing countries are cut out of the loop as well and can't find out what policies their governments have agreed to until after the IMF and World Bank loans are approved. They lose every time.
Officials from the World Bank and IMF say peaceful demonstrations are a healthy part of democracy. What they don't understand is why demonstrators are intent on stopping the global economic meetings when their objective is to bail out failing countries and help their economies prosper. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, Washington, D.C.